In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In just a few short weeks, I will once again be back at the diocesan school. The upcoming year will be the third and final year for 8 postulants who are seeking ordination as priests and deacons in our diocese. As many of you know, this past year, I taught these same students clinical pastoral education, better known as CPE. The point of CPE is to learn the skill of pastoral care and to develop a better understanding of how you yourself relate to people. These goals are accomplished through conducting interviews with patients or care seekers and through presenting verbatims, word-for-word reports of these encounters to one's fellow students and instructor. CPE is often regarded as a terrifying experience, a big leap into the unknown world of emotion and suffering and pain, and the continual public examination of oneself through the in-depth critiquing of the verbatims. All of this can prove quite challenging to one's self-image. I'm happy to report that the students all survived. In fact, they did a great job, and I'm really very proud of them. It's a very hard course. This coming school year, I will be teaching a course called Contextual Formation. Now, you may ask, and rightfully so, what in the world is that? Well, essentially, it's a project-oriented class designed to help students learn the leadership skills necessary to take their church out of the box and into the world as it exists today. Each student will be assigned a field placement at a church other than their own. It will be up to the student to enter into a relationship with the rector and the congregation, to explore and define the culture of that particular congregation and its community, to identify and lead a group in the development of a missional project that is based in the context of our baptismal theology and in the context of the church and its community, and finally, by the end of the school year, to transition the leadership of the project to someone in the congregation. Contextual formation, creating a missional project for the church within the context of our baptismal theology and within the culture of the church's reality. If it sounds like a lot, it is. But I must tell you, the students are excited, as am I. We have agreed to see ourselves as a collaborative think tank. We will meet monthly and together explore progress, successes, failures, opportunities for growth and improvement in our goal for moving the assigned churches out of the box and into the world. Bottom line, this will be a project driven by the Holy Spirit, for sure, with both the instructor and the students working to equip various churches for their calling to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I, Jesus, have commanded you. Contextual formation is an incredibly important project. It's a project designed to place a spotlight on the calling of the church to be a truly missional movement. It is a project designed to give life to the fact that Scripture is the Spirit-given authority to form us for missional living. Scripture is the authority that God's Spirit gives to the Word, the authority that sends us into the world, not necessarily as individual missioners, but more importantly, as God's missional church. It is a project to remind us that as a church, we are sent by Jesus into the world to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I, Jesus, have commanded you. In his book, Canoeing the Mountains, Todd Bolsinger writes, "The culture is changing. The world is changing rapidly. And churches are facing change on an unprecedented scale. But the church is also at an exciting crossroads. We are entering a new day, new terrain, a new adventure. We are not alone. The Spirit of God goes before us. The mission of Christ will not fail." Our work as a church committed to carrying the good news of Christ to all nations has become very challenging. Perhaps challenging isn't even a strong enough word. Perhaps it would be more descriptive to say we are engaged in an uphill battle. An uphill battle to preserve the church, the vehicle that proclaims through Scripture, sacrament, and love God's Word. A vehicle through which the gospel of Christ becomes a reality in man's life. Last week we learned that Jesus had set his face to Jerusalem. Surrounded by his disciples and a crowd of people who had declared that they wanted to follow him on his journey to the cross, he launched a fast-paced campaign to bring the gospel to as many people as possible in what he understood to be his short time in this world. He appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of himself in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Establishing what ultimately was to become the mission of the church, the evangelization of the gospel, Jesus sent out not just the 12 who had been commissioned as disciples, but a multitude of his followers, 70 in all. And interestingly, Jesus sent them out in advance. He commissioned them as leaders in what we now call, many thanks to our beloved presiding Bishop Michael Curry, the Jesus Movement. Jesus sent his followers out ahead of him to proclaim the good news, to evangelize, to prepare people for the arrival of him in their lives. The sending of the 70 is scriptural witness to the reality that as a gathered church, we are formed to carry out God's mission in the world. We are called to evangelize, to spread the good news. In this brief section that describes Jesus' sending his followers as laborers into the harvest, we experience with total clarity the actual authority of God's Spirit as it demands our missional obedience. Just as God sent Jesus into the world, so Jesus sends us into the world. With all authority, we are a people sent by God, sent into the world. Old Testament scholar Christopher Wright reminds us that the sending of the church as the apostle to the world goes to God's very purposes. He says, "It is not so much that God has a mission for his church in the world. but that God has a church for his mission in the world. God has a church for his mission in the world. Alan Hirsch, in his book Forgotten Ways, writes, "Missional church is a community of God's people that defines itself and organizes its life around its true and authentic organizing principle, mission. When the church is in mission, it is the true church. God is a sending God. Just as he sent Jesus, so Jesus sends us." I wonder if the students at the Diocesan School of Ministry think of themselves as missional. As they prepare to embark on this groundbreaking class called Contextual Formation, do they think of themselves as the modern day equivalent of the 70? Because in a sense, they are. Essentially, the students are being told that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. They are being sent to forge a new way for us. They are being sent with the warning that they may possibly find themselves among wolves, non-believers. They are being sent with no real tools other than prayerful support. They are being sent with the directive not to be distracted and to stick it out once they have settled on a project, no matter how challenging. They are being sent with the hope that they will transform and energize a community of people to embrace God's mission for the church in the face of a changing world. They are being sent with the directive to identify the mission that God has for the church in this complex and tumultuous world. Above all, they are being sent to spread the gospel with the understanding that whoever listens to them will be listening to Christ. They will be creating a church shaped by Jesus and his mission. I wonder how the 70 felt as they listened to God's commandment to go ahead of him, as they heard his warning that they would be as lambs among wolves. Would they, like the diocesan students initially, react rather violently, saying, "Hey, wait a minute, we're not ready for this. You're the teacher, you're the leader, you go first." Well, that's not what Jesus or the diocesan school leadership had in mind. Jesus knew that he was in the world for only a short time. More importantly, he understood that as the Son sent from God, it was his mission not only to teach and to heal, but also to send forth his disciples, his followers, to be God's church in the world. Fast forward to today. That means us. As followers of Jesus, as the Jesus movement, we are being sent forth as an agent of God's mission to the world to evangelize the gospel. Todd Bollinger is just one of many who has written and or preached about the fact that the culture is changing, the world is changing rapidly, and churches are facing change on an unprecedented level. But the church is also at an exciting crossroads. We are entering a new day, new terrain, and a new adventure. We are not alone. The Spirit of God goes before us. The mission of Christ will not fail. The mission of God will not fail. Six very important words. Six very important words that can only become a reality if we, like the 70, heed Jesus' command to go ahead of him, spreading the good news, preparing the way for him to enter people's lives, their souls. However difficult, we must accept the reality of the crossroads that faces the church. If we are to meet the uphill challenge of finding new ways to carry out our mission, we must reorient ourselves. We must let go of the old, learning and leading as we go forward. We must have the courage to enter uncharted territory. We must not give up. We must keep going no matter what. It is we, who are sent into the world as the rightful and faithful continuation of Jesus' own sending by God. It is we who are sent as witnesses to our own community. It is we who must realize that when our church is in mission, it is the true church. We must enter uncharted territory with a mission worthy of our utmost dedication. We must be a church shaped by Jesus and his mission. Amen.